And following is a web-based report from the West Bank.
The Real News Network, host of the podcast Working People. I'm sitting here in Baltimore on Thursday, November 2nd. It's about 2:13 p.m. And I'm currently waiting to see if I can get on the phone with Issa Amro, a Palestinian man and human rights activist living in Hebron in the occupied West Bank. I don't know if we'll be able to connect with Issa, but I'm sitting here waiting and hoping. And hopefully the next thing you hear is our conversation.
Hi, Issa.
Yes.
Hi. Thank you so much. I'm so sorry to bother you at this time. I know you only have 10 minutes, so I am recording, and I'll let you go in 10 minutes from now.
Okay. Good. Well, thank you.
Can you just start by introducing yourself? Tell people who you are, where you are, and what is happening around you right now.
I'm a Palestinian human rights defender from the city of Hebron in the West Bank, and I'm Issa Amro. I am an activist organizing nonviolence activities since 20 years. Now I'm in my friend's house because the Israeli military evicted me from my house on October 20th, and I was attacked and beaten and tortured on October 7th by Israeli soldiers and Israeli settlers in an army war.
You say you were abducted and tortured?
Yes. On October 7th, Israeli settlers in an army war and Israeli soldiers kidnapped me from my house yard, and they handcuffed me, blindfolded my eyes, tied my mouth, and beat me, and I was put in very bad conditions, beating on me, taking selfies with me, celebrating, beating me up, and cursing and insulting me all for 10 hours. And that was so painful to be tied with plastic cuffs for 10 hours continuously. Until now, I have back problems and back pain, and I have hand issues. I'm suffering from that. I'm not able to move my fingers well, and I don't feel well after the blood was not reaching my fingers for 10 hours. That was October 7th. Then settlers and soldiers attacked my house many times, raided my house, damaged my yard line, and then they evicted me by force from my house.
My God, I'm so incredibly sorry this is happening, Issa. I can't imagine how you're feeling right now, and we are sending all of our love and solidarity to you and to everyone over there in Palestine. We are going to do everything we can to stop this. Can you just tell people here in the United States and Canada about what has been going on in the West Bank, what has been going on in Gaza since October 7th, since you were kidnapped?
I can say that it's not only me. many Palestinians were beaten, attacked, killed in the last 4 weeks. Around 130 Palestinians were killed in West Bank by the Israeli military and Israeli settlers in the West Bank. Hundreds of Palestinians being tortured, beaten, and there is a TikTok challenge between Israeli soldiers who beats up Palestinians more. And settlers attacked Palestinian communities, around 20 communities, left their communities. So many, many families left their houses, their villages. It's a closure, it's a curfew in many places in the West Bank. So it's not normal life these days. Soldiers are everywhere, settlers are everywhere. People are afraid to leave their homes. They don't go to work, they don't go to school. They don't go to universities, people protesting in the street, angry about what's going on in Gaza. So it's not a normal life, or even we don't have the basic of a life in the West Bank.
Can you say more about that? Because on our show, we talk to workers around the United States, people who go to work for a living, and they're listening to this right now. Can you talk about life for working Palestinians under Israeli occupation before October 7th?
The Palestinian workers, they are really used for cheap labor. They are dehumanized. If anybody says anything politically the Israeli military disagree with, they don't give them work permits. They barely earn living. They have to go to the checkpoint, go to work around 3 a.m. to reach their work at 7 a.m. Imagine that you wake up in a very early morning to go to work. It's not a life for the workers. A cheap labor without rights, without dignity, without being able to even confront or challenge the Israeli military or the Israeli apartheid system. Because it's not only, it's the conditions of the Palestinian workers. The Israeli workers, they have different conditions with welfare, with insurance, with very good salaries. It's the opposite of Palestinian workers.
And Issa, I know I only have you for another 2 minutes, so I just wanted to ask if you could talk directly to workers here in the United States. What would you tell them to do? What do you want to say to them before we let you go?
I tell the American people that Palestinians, they love you, they respect you, they use you as an idol for freedom and justice and equality. We want them to see us as a human being who deserve freedom, justice, and equality, not animals who are seeking shelters and food. I want the American workers to be united to make the occupation costly, make the Israeli apartheid costly. As Martin Luther King said, I have a dream. We, the Palestinians, we have dreams to be free. And that will not happen without American support to us as Palestinians, especially the American workers, to pressure the American administration to stop its client support to Israel. Israel is using their tax money to embolden the occupation and make our life harder and harder. So the American administration is really participating in making our life harder instead of making it easier. So the workers can change that. They can be creative to make it costly with concrete nonviolence actions from them to their governments and to anybody who is trying to offend other people. Thank you very much.
Issa, thank you. Please stay safe.
Okay, thank you.